social times where life's stories shine. Anyways, a very good morning to you, beloved Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to another episode of Social Times with me, Hileni Inane. I will be with you from now up until the hour of 11 o'clock. And like we do it every other Saturday, we come here. And we have conversations that affect our everyday lives, conversations about some of those uncomfortable things that you may not really want to just get into on a daily basis or on an ordinary Saturday. But then there's most me. I just come here random Saturday and I'm having a conversation about things that you are afraid of and things that impact how you live, things that impact the outcome of where your life is going and basically everything in between. So on Social Times, we have conversations about your social well-being, your mental well-being, the economic well-being of the country. We have conversations about culture, you know, taboos, beliefs, everything in between. That is actually what we come on Social Time to discuss. Anything that can socially affect you. And the list really just goes on as to what type of conversations we can speak about, because there is no, we don't have brackets here. We don't have a box here to say, no, we cannot talk about A, B, C, and D, or we can only talk about A, B, C, and D. Here we have conversations about absolutely everything and anything. And if perhaps once in a while we miss conversations that actually matter to you guys as our faithful listeners, you can always just let us know and we can go out there and bring those conversations to you as well. We make that happen. So if you're new to Eagle FM, thank you for tuning in. And I hope you will be tuning in every other day from today onwards. So we don't just have conversations. We also share important, important news about the economy of the country, the bread and butter issues, things that affect your policy, policy moves, policy making, strategies that affect you, because you are just there at home, name, and you're looking at your ceiling and you're just wondering, yeah, no, but what does this particular policy have to do with me? 10 years down the lane, your kids are going to be living in some of those circumstances, the same way you are now living in those particular circumstances, but you are not part of the policy making committees back then. People were just making policies, and now you, collateral damage. Whether you like it or not, you have to just, you know, play along, because things are already things and they've been made as such. So speaking of news, we have our e-villager paper, which is an online newspaper. I know it say newspaper is just wrong, but you need to get it. So the e-paper is released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And to subscribe to our e-paper, you should just send us your name to our WhatsApp number, which is 081-200-4144, and we will be able to add you to our billing list. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will be able to receive the paper at your fingertips. Like, literally, you don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to give us any subscription fee for it. You don't have to come to Eagle FM and get it. It comes to you. We send it to you at the comfort of your home, at the comfort of your office, wherever you may be. That is where the paper is coming. And then you can just peruse through and educate yourself and just catch up with some of the amazing stories that are happening in and around the country, stories that affect you. You know, agriculture stories, because guys, you cannot go without food. So some of those things are always in the e-paper, and it's just things to familiarize yourself with, so that tomorrow when you see ABCD is happening, you don't just be chilling there lost and you're like, why are people running? You need to know why people are running, and you need to know the purpose of people running into that particular direction. So do subscribe, do send us your name, and do save the number, because we also have a WhatsApp channel where you can also be informed, so that you are always aware of the particular conversations that are coming up on air, conversations that are lined up, so that perhaps you just prepare yourself better to engage the conversations, to know what is Eleni actually going to be talking about today. What is Dr. Mike coming in to talk about? Is it a conversation you're interested in? Is it something you would want to research and participate? Is it something you want to jot down questions and come ask? Maybe, you know, maybe HD is bringing the Minister of Sports, and they are really just pressing questions that you have. So sometimes this becomes your opportunity to participate. This becomes your opportunity to engage the particular people that you would like to actually engage. Apart from that, here at Eagle FM, we offer live streaming services. We offer live broadcasting services. So what that entails to is that we can come to you wherever you are, and we will live stream your event. We will live broadcast your event, and people will be able to participate and listen to the conversation from wherever they are, any part of the world. Especially with our Eagle FM app, it enables you to listen to us from all over the world. It doesn't just have to end at Ohaingo Village. No. Even there were us in the USA, you know, they may be listening to you, you know. So just get the app, and all our services attainable through the app, so that when you come to us and you say, what is the range of the people that I can reach? I kid you not, you will be reaching a wider range of people in and around the country, abroad, you know, on an international level. So your product can always go out to them. Alternatively, you can follow all our social media pages, which is Instagram, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. So you can always just follow those social media pages, and we will be putting up information on a daily basis and things that you can just follow along and know what is happening around the country, like I've been saying. Otherwise, you can also just call our reception number, and through that you can easily get a quotation for your products. You can come here and advertise your products, like you've been hearing the whole morning. It's product after product. It's sale after sale. Go to ShopRite. Go to WayWay. When the NSA people come to your house, allow them to gather the information that they need. UNAM applications are open. NAST applications are open. IUM applications are open. Do the right thing and get yourself an education. And like UNAM says, the you in them is you. So this is your chance to apply, ne? And also, Adona said Moz, education is going to be free very soon. So this is your one chance to just get yourself going and do something nice for yourself. So without further ado, social times is not social times unless we have been baptized by Billie Eilish with her Ocean Eyes, which is the official theme song for social times. Until I learn how to sing, at least, so that I can just come up with something myself and I start singing for you guys myself. So do stay tuned for me. I will be back with you right after this.
Some time can't stop staring at those ocean eyes, burning cities and napalm skies, 15 flares inside those ocean eyes, your ocean eyes. Don't
things.
I'm scared. I've never fallen quite this high. Falling into your ocean eyes. Those ocean eyes.
I said, bartender, I need one shot whiskey, two shots of pain and a dash of some memory. With life's lemons, I made lemonade. Does it still taste the same if I mix it with some Hennessy? Dreams of being young and unafraid, but I love somebody and it drained all my energy. Ooh, and I thought that love was magnificent. I remember being 7 years old, thinking, oh my God, what's it feel to be 23? Now I'm 27, staring at a kid in the mirror, and all I do is wonder if he's proud of me. Broken promises made me this way, I swear, I wasn't always numb and indifferent. Bartender, I need one shot of whiskey, but what could I tip you to refund my innocence? Why don't I see it happening? Yeah, bartender, have you ever been in love with someone but terrified of settling? Remember I was young and behaved, but I hurt somebody and I couldn't find a remedy. And I thought that love was like my disease. I remember being 7 years old thinking, oh my God, what's it feel to be 23? Now I'm 29, staring at a kid in the mirror, and all I do is wonder if she's proud of me. Broken promises made me this way, I swear, I wasn't always numb and indifferent. Bartender, I need one shot of whiskey, but what could I tip you to refund my innocence? Say the older you get, or the wiser you are. I should be wiser by far, but I feel more like a child now. Ooh. Heaven knows I'm a mess. Ooh, but there's still some time. Yeah, there's a sunshine inside of this hourglass. It's with you and I say, bartender, one shot of whiskey, two shots of pain and a dash of some memory.
And a dash of some memory. Okay, welcome back, beloved Eagle FM listeners. It is, what's the time, Anan? It's 36 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and if you're just joining us, you are right on time for today's conversation. So today we are diving into a conversation that touches all of us, and especially the young people, and how... just to look at how young people may unknowingly jeopardize their lives, their financial lives, their mental well-being, their emotional well-being. You know, it's, that time of the year when everything is looking, bright. Everyone is making plans, expensive plans, some at that. And everyone is just really trying to get certain things done. And it's also end of year fatigue and people are tired and everyone is really just looking forward to, you know, to the festive season so that they can have a good time and rest and, be ready for the next year. Guys, 2026 is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. The Namibian vision is just around the corner. You know, Vision 2030, it is around the corner. I don't know how you have contributed to it. But yeah, that's why we come here and have conversations such as this. And I've also been looking at factors that also just made me want to have those conversations. And it's factors such as the high and alarming suicide rates around the country. And if you look at those particular cases, it's young people. It is young people. It is people that are supposed to be contributing to the country's workforce. It is people who are starting their careers, starting their families. You know, like people who are actually just getting started with their lives. Because they say life is after 30. I don't know it yet, but when I get there, I'll tell you guys. When I get there, you will know. I will come here and I'll tell you, Kuchayane, it is true. Life is after 30. So some of those things you just observe in your society and you ask yourself questions as to what is making people end up in this type of, circumstances. Why do people, decide to take these particular measures as the last measures of their lives or to find themselves in this particular type of corners. And then we just have to look at how as young people you jeopardize your life, you jeopardize your financial and your mental well-being as well as your emotional well-being without even knowing that you're actually jeopardizing it. And we'll just talk about the common mistakes that people make, and I will also just give you guys clips, real life clips to listen to. What are some of the things that people did to jeopardize their lives? What are some of the mistakes that people made, young people made, to end up where they are? And how can you easily, you know, just get yourself out of that space? Because sometimes you get so excited, things start to go well in life, and you get so excited, and you're excited because you are winning, you are excited because things are finally looking bright for you, you are excited because now you can afford, you know, to have pizza 20 nights a month, and you know, and the things just look bright for you, and then you start to make decisions that jeopardizes your financial stability. You start to make decisions that are questionable, but in the moment when you're making these particular decisions, you don't actually realize that you are putting yourself in a corner. You don't actually realize that the road in which you are going into, is one that will leave you in a corner against a wall, and then you must now be stuck between a rock and a hard place. And in as much as they encourage us to mind our own business, unfortunately my job requires me to mind other people's businesses. I always say this, colleagues, I get paid to be in other people's businesses, so me being in your business means me bringing you this type of conversations that sometimes you're just afraid to have on your own. Me bringing you realities, things that are actually happening, conversations that you are not ready to have, to see where are the triggers coming from. Why do we have a very high and alarming suicide rate? What are some of the things contributing to that? Why do a lot of young people owe so much money to cash loans, to debt collectors? Why are young people indebted so much? You know, these are the type of conversations we should be having, because by fair, people are just living konyara no kokana. In Oshiwambo, it's konyara no kokana. In English, is from hand to mouth. I don't even know if it makes sense, but yeah, onwambo hati konyara no kokana. What it technically means is that when you receive, you are putting in the mouth. You don't get a chance to save. You don't get a chance to store it somewhere so that it can just sit there and marinate and wait until the middle of the month so that you can use it for other things, or so that you can use it as an emergency fund or something of that sort. So people are literally just, as you receive, you are putting in the mouth. As you receive, you're putting in the mouth. And maybe we have to start interrogating and just having conversations around those particular things to see where are the problems coming from? Where are the problems emanating from? What is triggering these problems? Who is responsible? Because someone is always somewhere, somehow responsible, right? So, I just want to be here and have this conversation, because you need to remember that this conversation is about people like you and I. This conversation is about your future children. This conversation is about your cousin that you do not know what they are going through, your siblings, the strongest fighter in your family. You just think the person is fine, can't you? The person is not fine. So these are just conversations we need to have, so that you can also just start to tell, and so that you are able to notice, so that you are able to read into people's actions. Maybe it's not always possible, but maybe and just perhaps you can read into someone's behavior so well that you actually get them the help that they require. So young people often step into adulthood with dreams and ambitions, but somewhere along the line, the way financial pressures and mental health challenges creep in, you don't even see it happening. It's like one day you are on your high horse, the next day the horse is on your stomach. It's like you just fell flip down, the back down, and now the horse is stepping on you and you just cannot move from underneath it. So this type of things goes from overspending and debt to burnout and depression, and many of you are struggling in silence. So what exactly is the Namibian person doing wrong? What exactly are people doing wrong in this particular regard? So we are just going to unpack this conversation, and if you would like to join the conversation in studio and just call in and perhaps also just give us contributing factors, things to look out for as to why the Namibian youth or the young Namibian is ending up in this particular situation where they are always having their backs against the wall, where they are always stuck between a rock and a hard place, where things are not going well, where things just spiral out of control, but not because it's how it's supposed to be. In many cases, it's because of that human intervention. It's because of you as a person. Because if the money was just chilling in the account, the money on its own cannot leave the account. If your emotions were just in place, the emotions on its own cannot just spiral out of its place. You as a human, or you as a person, you are the contributing factor. You are the link between what you are going through and how you are contributing to your finances, how you are contributing to your workforce, how you are contributing to the economy of the country. It is you that is responsible. Because without you, the buildings will just be there. It will just be a building. Without you, your account will just be there. Whether it's in negatives or whether it's over billions, it will just be there chilling. But the moment you get involved, suddenly it goes from a million to negative 20 in 5 weekends, because now, let me not. Yeah, so first, we are going to, you know, just take a quick break, and we are going to listen to an artist called Shayla Walt, and we are going to listen to her story and her testimony of just healing from clinical depression and how certain things work for her, you know, as an artist or as someone that starts to make it in life. And I think a lot of you guys can testify to this. When things start to go right in your life, it comes with a lot of things. It comes with a lot of expectations. Some of you are expected to be in the public eye so often that you start to lose parts of yourself. You need to constantly glue yourself together. You need to look a certain way. You need to behave a certain way. You need to speak a certain way. Because now, if I'm always here having those conversations with you guys and the Hangwena region English keeps coming out, you guys are almost going to laugh at me. And you're going to say, she's not radio worthy. She's not what? She's not doing what? Helene is failing at this. Helene is failing at that. She does not even dress like she should be there. She does not what. And it's all this pressures that young people put themselves under. It's all the scrutinies that come from other young people and elders in their lives that people just go like, yo, and, you know, certain things just happen. So let's quickly just listen to this testimony, and I will be back to just dive into the conversation and to also just look at what exactly it is that you young people do wrong, how you do it, and you know, remedies on how to just come out of this particular spaces.
My guest, instead of answering my question, turned the tables and said to me, Sheila, you sit here every day asking how we're doing. How are you doing? And she meant it kindly, but I wasn't prepared for it, and I hadn't time to pull up that wall. And I fell apart on national television. And by that evening, I was in the locked ward of a psychiatric hospital.
People think, man, my life, if it was only as great as Shayla Walsh's, I mean, everything must just go perfect for her growing up. It just must have been all rosy and great. But I want you to tell us the real story. What happened in your life, and tell us how God brought you to this point in your life?
Well, I was born in the west coast of Scotland, a small fishing village. And I was born to a mom and dad who loved Jesus, which wouldn't be unusual in the States. But in Scotland, at that point, less than 3% of our population even went to church.
Wow.
So to have a mom and dad who didn't just go to church, but who really loved Jesus was such a gift. Wow. My sister, who's 2 years older, she's kind of what every mother hopes for. You know, she liked all the kind of ribbons and sticky outy dresses. But I was a tomboy, so I adored my dad. I thought there was nobody on this earth quite like my father. But when I was about 5 years old, my father had a massive brain aneurysm. Mm. Which changed his personality. And he went from being this warm, loving dad to a confused and ultimately violent stranger. Wow. And the last day I ever saw my dad, I turned just in time to see that he was about to bring his cane down on my skull. And I don't know whether I pushed it or pulled it, but he lost his balance and lay on the ground just roaring like an animal. And the last look in my father's eyes was one of absolute hatred. And he was taken off that day to what was then called our local lunatic asylum. Wow. It's what you'd call a psych hospital these days. He was 34 years old.
Wow.
But he managed to escape one night, and he drowned himself in the river behind the hospital. And you didn't take children to funerals in Scotland to a gravesite. All I remember is my mom coming home in a black dress with a black hat on and taking every single picture of my father off the walls or off the table and putting them in a little suitcase, which she locked and pushed under the bed, and we never mentioned his name again.
Wow.
I think we know so much more now about how to help children process grief. I think my mom thought, I'll let Sheila bring the conversation up.
Sure.
She had no way of knowing that there was a question that burned inside of me that no one could answer. What did my dad see in me that made him hate me so much?
Oh.
So I grew up with what I call a profound sense of shame. And here's how I differentiate between shame and guilt. Yeah. If I said something unkind to you, I would feel guilty until I could say, listen, please forgive me. That was all my fault.
Right.
So guilt tells me I've done something wrong.
Right.
Shame tells me I am something wrong.
Wow.
And what do you do with that? And I remember the night I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. My mom prayed for me, and she said something that would be good news to most people. She said, Sheila, not only is Christ your Savior and your Lord, you have a Heavenly Father watching out for you, watching over you. But I remember at 11 thinking, I've got one more chance to get it right. Whatever my earthly dad saw in me that made him hate me, my Heavenly Father is never going to see in me. I'm going to be the perfect Christian if it kills me.
Wow.
And it nearly did.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, that can just put you in such a performance trap so quick.
Absolutely. It's why I went to seminary when I was 19. Mm. I went to London Theological Seminary to train to be a missionary in India because I couldn't think of anything I would hate more.
Wow.
I actually thought, how proud of God, of me, God would be thinking, look at her. She's traveling, which she hates to do, going to a country with very large crawly beasties. All because she loves me. What a girl.
So it's like to please God, I can do something that I don't want to do.
Like, watch me, Lord, watch me.
Wow.
And God redirected my steps. I ended up working with Billy Graham and his crusades.
Wow.
And then I got an invitation to become Pat Robertson's co-host on the 700 Club.
Incredible.
For 5 years. But inside, I was still the same scared little broken girl who wouldn't let anybody get close to her in case you saw what my father saw. Yeah. Do you know it's possible to be very well known and desperately lonely?
Yeah.
That's how I lived.
Wow. You know, it's crazy. You can be rich and be lonely. You can be married and be lonely.
Yeah.
You can be worshiping God with all your heart on Sunday and be lonely.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens. Now, you know, I just want to ask about something, too. You talked about your mom. She probably just did the best she could.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
my mom
probably just didn't know.
Amazing.
I mean, no one talked about mental health issues, at least that I remember, until last probably, what, 5 or 10 years?
And particularly in Scotland. I mean, in Scotland, I was brought up in a very conservative.
Yep.
I mean, my church, my great-great-grandfather made the communion table. You know, we came from this long line of godly, strong women.
Wow.
But we didn't talk about the things that really hurt us. You know, we just carried on. But God in his mercy, that's what blows me away about the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, God knew I was just surviving. And he set up a rescue plan that I would never have signed up for. But God's plans are so much greater than we could imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened to me was one morning on live television, my guest, instead of answering my question, turned the tables and said to me, Sheila, you sit here every day asking how we're doing. How are you doing? And she meant it kindly, but I wasn't prepared for it, and I hadn't time to pull up that wall.
Wow.
And I fell apart on national television. And by that evening, I was in the locked ward of a psychiatric hospital.
Wow. Wow. Goodness. So, you know, it's interesting you say that because I think God allows people to make a giant mistake or a fall or a failure or just kind of fall apart in a public setting because that way you can't deny it or hide it any longer. So now you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So here you are in the psych ward and you're like, I'm Miss Christian leader everyone looks to and my life is crumbling. What's going through your mind at this point?
You know, it was interesting because the person who was the most supportive and loving toward me was Pat Robertson.
Wow.
You know, he was my boss. He was the man I looked up to, a mentor. He should have been the one saying, you know, we're talking about healing and miracles here and you're falling off your chair.
Yeah.
But he was the most loving and supportive. But one of our senior staff took me for a walk around our building before I headed to the hospital. And he said, you can't do this. If people find out where you're going, they will never trust you again. Your ministry will be over.
Wow.
You're the weak link here. Mm. You know, the enemy's trying to use you to destroy this ministry. And I felt I already felt so guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made me feel so much worse. And he said, you need to save your ministry.
Yeah.
And I said,
he meant it good. He meant it well, I'm sure.
But what I said to him was, I'm not trying to save my ministry. I'm trying to save my life.
Wow. Wow.
And that's the amazing thing about God.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, Sheila, the thing is that I don't think your situation is unique at all.
Mm.
I think this is something that people really resonate all over the world.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to say it.
I know.
It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting was I hadn't even thought about the fact that this unit I was in was a Christian unit within a psychiatric hospital.
Wow.
So it hadn't occurred to me that some of these other patients would know who I was. And that first morning, you know, they take away your belt, your hose, your makeup, your hair dryer, anything you could hurt yourself with. Yeah. I remember saying to the nurse, trust me, I have no intentions of blow drying myself to death.
Right,
she was
right,
not impressed.
Yeah.
But the next morning, I put on my bathrobe and I wandered along to where the other patients were. Mm. And it was one of those moments when, you know, everybody's talking until you walk in and they're just like silence. And this one guy eventually said, are you Sheila Walsh? And I said, yeah. He said, well, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm a patient. And he said, yeah, right. And I said, you think I'm here to do a documentary in my bathrobe? I don't think so.
Wow.
And he said something that was hard to hear, but it was part of my healing. He said, hey, I don't mean to offend you. We all watch you every morning. You're supposed to be helping us.
Wow.
But when you finally fall off your shelf,
yeah,
and join the rest of people who love God but don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Those who are beautifully broken by Christ.
That's so good. That's so good. Wow. You know, I remember the first time I shared in church some shortcomings, and my wife was like, people are going to freak out that you struggle with this or that. And the exact opposite happened. Yeah. People were drawn to it. Mm-hmm. I just believe God uses a brokenness in you to this day. It's attractive. It draws people to your ministry and to your words, gives you more influence, not less influence. It's the exact opposite of what we think.
Yeah, and I think we need to decide who is the hero of our story.
Mm.
I'm not the hero of my story. Jesus is the hero of my story.
That's good. That's
I'm not
so
the
good
news. He's the good news.
Love that.
Wrapped up, so consumed by all this hurt. If you ask me, don't know where to start. Anger,
intimacy,
honesty,
commitment,
you.
Me.
Us.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kick it with who I wanted, and I never get confronted for it, 'cause they stick up for me. If I were, they think that I was sleeping alone. I put myself first and make the rules as I go. 'Cause I know that she'd be faithful, waiting for me to come home. To come home. If I were, I would feel to love a girl.
You know, when you act like that, I don't think you realize how it makes me look or feel.
Act like what? Why are you so jealous? It's not like I'm sleeping with a guy.
What?
What?
I said, yo, why are you so jealous? It ain't like I'm sleeping with the girl.
But you're just a boy. You don't understand.
And you don't understand.
Oh, it feels to love a girl someday. You wish you were a better man. You don't listen to her. You don't care how it hurts. Until you lose the one you wanted, 'cause you're taking her for granted, and everything you have got destroyed. But you're just a boy.
Perfect. But you're just a boy, Moss, so I do not really expect much from you. So like I said in the beginning, we are going to look at ways in which young people jeopardize their, you know, lives, their decisions, and how they just kind of mess up a good thing because of things that were not necessarily taught to them, and because of things that they are not really aware of. So when we say young people, jeopardize their futures, it's not necessarily that it's bad decisions in a nutshell. It's not always bad decisions. Sometimes it's things you do unknowingly, things you say unknowingly, decisions you make because you don't really foresee the future and you are unable to, you know, have known certain things would turn out the way they would. Eagle FM, you're live.
Lem.
Yes?
Good morning, my beloved daughter.
Good morning, Daddy. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, mommy?
I'm well.
How are you doing? How is daddy and mommy that side?
I am doing good. Everyone is also doing really well.
Thank God. It's a long time I've listened to your program. And even my heart, I feel empty.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm here now.
I'm telling you the truth. In terms of education, information that are relevant.
Yes.
What is happening to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to you from the beginning.
Yes.
And I was carried away by the music that you are playing. And then I also listen, you know, because sometimes you are trying to touch there and there.
Mm-hmm.
And even the presentation.
Yes. Yes.
So, but now that you have just made a brief introduction again about young ones, the kind of maybe destructive behaviors or whatever, or issues of that nature. Well, what is the themes of your program today?
We are looking at how young people especially jeopardizes their lives and their fight. Yes?
I'll call you, Ne.
Okay.
Good human rights. What? I don't know. I think it's important.
Okay, bye. Okay. Let's pick it up. So, like I said, sometimes it's not always a bad decision. Sometimes there are just social pressures surrounding young people. There's lack of education and even systematic issues. And when I say social pressures surrounding young people, it's things that many of you guys have experienced. It's pressures from the world that, you know, you want to fit in so bad that you start to do certain things that make you fit in the moment, but you don't foresee the future. You are not looking at things in the long run. You are not thinking to say, if I make certain decisions today, how will this particular decisions benefit me 2-3 years from now? How will this particular decisions benefit me 10 years from now? So it's not always that people make bad decisions and that is how they end up with this, things that we are talking about. Like I said, The conversation was triggered by the recent and alarming number of suicides and how people are burnt out, people are fatigued, people are in debt, people are just working to pay bills, people are literally just surviving, and there are so many people who we know, who we interact with, who are just hanging by a thread. And some of those things and some of those life pressures that I'm talking about things like lifestyle pressure, you know, trying to keep up with friends who seem to have more. Social media really amplifies the circle, this situation, and it just makes it so worse. And I always tell people, it is very important to know where you come from. It is very important to be content with what you have. It is very important to just respect what you have, be content with it, and work hard into achieving something better. But it does not have to come at the expense of everything that you have. If you know your salary is $10,000, and if another friend of yours or someone that you know is earning $30,000 and they are living in town in an $8,000 flat, because obviously the salaries are different, guys, so they can afford it, but you can't, because when you pay for an $8,000 flat on a $10,000 salary, it means you're only left with $2,000, and now you have to make ends meet. You have to pay for electricity, you have to pay for water, you have to buy food, you need groceries, you need cosmetics, you need to be presentable at work because your boss is most now giving you this 10K. So he's not expecting you to just show up looking like, they are not expecting that from you. So you need to be a certain level of presentable. But if your first instinct is to say, Helene is now, has moved to town, let me also move to town because we need to be people of the same circle and I need to fit in somehow. If she can do it, why can't I do it? Guys, sometimes you must even ask yourself, meskin het Helene waka zopa. Meskin het Helene waka zopa, but for alles betal my Jay. You with just your salary alone, you want to come do the things Helene is doing. While Helene is doing bedroom gymnastics so that Helene can sustain her life, you just want to say, yes, Lord, you will do it for me. And later you are so depressed, you are so unhappy, and you are making decisions based off of what I am doing or based off of what the next person is doing. And those decisions catch up to you in the long run. So you are always trying to fit in. You are always trying to find ways to look like the next person. You see someone got a BBL. Now you also want to go and get a BBL. You see someone got their waist snatched. Now you also want to go get your waist snatched. But you do not have the financial means to do that for yourself. You do not have the financial means to live in certain suburbs of Windhoek. You do not have the financial means to fly in and out for breakfast, for lunch, for whatever. You just don't have the financial capacity to do that. And the moment you become content with what you have is when you will start to understand that sometimes just be in Vanaheda. Just live in Kommersdal. There is nothing wrong with you living in those particular locations. There is nothing wrong with you taking a taxi to work, taking a taxi to school. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong about saying, I cannot afford A, B, C, and D. And if I decide to get A, B, C, and D, what are the chances I'm putting myself in unnecessary debt that I do not have to accumulate over this? And I think it's also an education and systematic thing. Because when was it? I don't remember when it was, but I saw someone advertising their cash loan business, and this particular cash loan business was like, either the advert is kind of like, what is happening tomorrow, come get your loan. It's a thriving event, guys. It's a thriving event. Imagine now your advertisement says there is ABCD happening. Oh, imagine your advertising event is say, your advertising says, Eagle FM is hosting a fun day at Sam Nujoma Stadium. Come take out a loan so you can go soccer there. For a fun day, you are going to take out a loan. There is interest on it. To go soccer, to go buy Hennessy, to go buy Moet, to go buy what? To go buy all of ShopRite's stock. Because, others are also buying. Now you also want to buy more and just fit in, because people are must buying alcohol. So let's buy alcohol. People are must going. So let's all go. We, even there's the whiskey festival, Volgende Saturday. Now you are going to take out money. Angel. So that you can afford the ticket to go, and so that you can also get yourself a new outfit to go. But it's not necessary if it's beyond your means. It's not necessary if it's something you cannot afford. I always tell people, name, there is nothing wrong with sitting certain things out. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that I cannot afford this. So let me sit this one out, and maybe next year I will have planned better so that I can actually afford to go. Like, there is, as young people, that is where your head needs to be at now. You cannot go to the bank and you're taking out a loan because you want to tag along to a girl's trip that others have been planning for 2 years in advance, and they are paying for it from savings, and you want to go take out a loan that you'll be paying for the next 2 years so that you can also join the trip. It doesn't make sense. Logically, it does not make sense. And those are just some of the things that young people are doing to put their mental well-being in a position where things start to pile up. Things start to pile up, and now you are just there. And you're just existing. And now once you owe a lot of people a lot of money, now people don't even want to give you their money anymore because you owe them so much. Now you are depressed. You are angry that people are not giving you money. You are angry at work, but your boss is paying you. But you're so angry because the money is not enough. You even start to feel like they are not paying you because you are so angry at everything. Now you are thinking of, how can I make money faster? Money making schemes. Who can I scam? What can I do to get the money faster? Where can I go steal? Shashi, you need the money desperately. Or what can I do to overcome this space that I got myself into? Okay, fine. I cannot afford to pay back people $500,000. So what is the way forward? What is the way forward? And these are just some of the things that triggers things like suicide. Because now you are like, aye, itevuru weka, let me mar end all of it. And then me, together with my debt, we go 8 feet under. And another one that is a contributing factor is to how people really just jeopardize their life, especially young people. They do not get the opportunity to build. They do not get the opportunity to start living for themselves, because obviously as black people, we are raised with the Ubuntu slogan, right? We are people because of people, and we always have to go back and give back to our families. And you always have to go back and take care of home. You always have to go back and do certain things. And every time someone dies in the family, your name is the first one on the list. You must make it rain. You must always make it rain there by contributions. And this is what is called either black tax or family pressure. So this is supporting your relatives before even establishing your personal stability. You know, you are not stable yourself. You still don't have a house for yourself. You still don't have a car. You and I on stop some. And you are just starting out, man, and you really just sometimes want to enjoy the little money that you are making. But now, because Nangula decided to go get her 5 children, and the father is a deadbeat who cannot show up for anything, you have to support Nangula's children because you and Nangula were raised in the same house. You have to support Malakia because Malakia was raised by your parents and now your parents are not able to support Malakia. And you have to send the other one to university because those are the type of households you as Namibians mostly come from. There is no thing of, when you win for yourself, then you just go start your life over and you're doing your own thing. Such things don't exist. So those are just some of the pressures of, you cannot even say you don't have comfortably. Because when you tell people, I don't have, people just take it as you don't want. You know, when you tell your mother, Meme, I cannot afford to send your younger daughter, aka my sister, to school, your mother gets very angry with you. Your parents get like really, really worked out, and they're like, what do you mean you can't afford it? We paid for you so that you can come back home and help us. That time you don't even have a bed. You are sleeping on a mattress with moro mayoe, mo venduka monopoa moni rongamos. But people at home are already demanding. People at home are already like, you can and you should, because they are entitled to it because they helped you when you were growing up. And if as a young person you are not able to find a balance, if as a young person you are not able to just figure things out and decide to put yourself first and to put your needs first sometimes, then you're going to find yourself having depressive episodes. You're going to find yourself living way above your means because now you are going to try and solve your family issues while you are also solving your own issues, and in that process you would find that something has to give. Either your finances are exhausted or you are getting into debt so that you can afford both, or you are now giving up what is supposed to be yours. You are now giving up your portion, you know, your happiness portion of the package, and you are giving it to your family members. And now you are having depressive episodes because in as much as you work so hard and the salary looks so good, you still cannot afford to go out and buy yourself a martini. You still cannot afford to go out and buy yourself a cocktail. It's like you're working so that other people can live good. And they will tell you, you don't want to help others. And it's such a sad thing to see, because, I'm not saying we shouldn't be helping our own people. I'm just saying, as young people, you need to find a balance. You need to find a balance where you can exist while taking care of yourself, and where you can exist while also being able to help your family. Because it does not make sense to me that you do all those things, you cannot afford your life, and now you are depressed, you are sick, either you are not able to go to work anymore because your mental capacity or your emotional well-being is not allowing you to do irongayantu how you are supposed to do it. You don't bring your A game like you used to. So now you are out of job and now there's no one to take care of your family anymore. Alternatively, the sad reality is now all these things are piling up on you, and you feel like you're in a corner. You feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, and now you are not so sure of what to do. You are not so sure of how to overcome it. You are not so sure of how to get out of that position. Or you are not sure how to make more money. And more money does not just come like that. So when you decide you want to make more money, now there are the scammers that are calling you from Olympia, and they are telling you, just give us your $500, we will turn it into $5,000. It's your last $500. But you are so desperate for money that you decide, let me give my $500 so that it can be turned into $5,000. Jiggy, 2 hours later, they're ignoring you. They have blocked you everywhere. Because they are also just hustling. Later on, you cannot afford a lot of things for yourself. Now you turn to crime. You're looking for methods in which you can, fill the gaps, the financial gaps that you have. You are looking for ways in which you can get access to more money. Now you are stealing at work because you are almost now a teller and you are working with the money. Now you just decide, Nena, I'll just take $50 today, and then tomorrow you take another $50, and then the day after that it's $100, and then after that it's $100, and then later on $100 is not enough anymore, it's $200. Later on you're like, I'll put back the money later because my boss only comes to check my teller after 5 days, so by the fifth day I should have gotten money from somewhere, and I'll put the money later. Because you want to sustain a certain lifestyle. You want every day when you knock off, you want to go have a drink there. Pondingosho. You want every day when you knock off, you want to take lunch for that baby. You know, that a girlfriend of yours at home. Because they say the downfall of men is most women. I don't want to acknowledge it, but in a way, yeah. Yeah, so every day you knock off, you need to have something. You get yourself used to a certain lifestyle, and that lifestyle has to give. So later on, you are now doing bigger heists because the $200 are not enough anymore. The $500 are not enough anymore. You need more. And she also wants a G-Wagon, or she wants a Polo. She may might have broken out in the company. And may might have to attend the company. And this is actually how you people sell yourselves, especially men. It's sad to see, but, and even the statistics show it. It's mostly men who are going through these emotional struggles, who are going through these particular things. And it's sad to see, but you look at it and you're like, it's the way you sell yourself from the get-go. Shashinga, I'll just give you an example of myself. For example, you approach me as a man. You come to me unprovoked. Inikupura, inikulilira. I did not, you know, do any of those shenanigans. You just find me in my peace, and you come and you are offering me gold and silver, and you are offering me diamonds and everything that, you know, everything nice. You are offering all those things to me unprovoked. That is the lifestyle you, that is what you introduced to me, right? So when the day finally comes that you cannot give me that lifestyle, as a woman in your life, women just become problematic because you need to maintain what you have introduced to me. And as sad as it sounds, you need to maintain what you have introduced to particular women. And that is now why they keep taking. And you have to find a way to keep hustling. You just hustle and hustle and hustle. And this person does not even care how you are hustling. They don't even care how you are getting it. They don't even care that you have to squeeze thorns into your hands and bleed so that that money can come out, or so that whatever you're giving them can be sustained. They really do not care. But somehow, some way, because you introduced that lifestyle to them, and you have introduced yourself as a quota. You have introduced yourself as a quota kucha. My girl cannot. So your girl will not. Even when things are going bad, she will not. Instead, she will move on to the next quarter, and later you cannot afford the heartbreak. Jiki jiki urimo ngodi. And this is not even me being insensitive. It's just the reality of things on the ground. Jiki jiki urimo ngodi, because now another person, okwekuthenga momo gamer, you feel like you have invested so much, but it's also how you portrayed yourself. You gave someone else the opportunity, okukulira. I always tell people, how you portray yourself is very, very important, because someone is gonna walk into your life, look at you, and see you for what you portray yourself as. People are not going to walk into your life and say, I am Nani, it's not like this. Because that's not how you introduced yourself. That is not the image you put there out of yourself. You put yourself out there as a very capable person, so people expect you to be capable. And it's the same thing with your families. If today the aunties at home ask for 10K and you give it on just like that, no complaining, no anything, tomorrow they ask again and you give it. And the day after that and you give it. You have set yourself up for exploitation because every time they are going to say tupa ona, and the one day you decide you don't have, your family members are going to bash you. Your family members are going to call you out. Your family members are going to be so negative, ne? And it's like that one time that you refuse to help them, that one time overrides everything else that has happened in the past. Now you are an unruly son, you are an unruly daughter, you are buying yourself expensive weaves, but you don't want to give them money. Guys, if my mental well-being requires me to buy myself a wig so I can feel better and so I can carry on with life, unfortunately, I'm gonna buy the wig. If it's within my means, I will buy the wigs instead of sending money for people that have swallowed spoons. Sometimes you should just treat yourself nice. And I'm not saying go above and beyond your means. I used the word keyword. If it is within your means to make yourself happy with that wig, get yourself the wig, get yourself the things, because it just contributes to your well-being, and you are happy to go to work, you are happy to continue living. Sometimes onto uthigona, you are just angry because of uthigona. You are just not doing well because things are not, you are not looking how you want to look. You are not doing certain things a certain way because other people are benefiting from you. And that is my issue with young people. I don't have a problem if you are treating yourself nice within your means. You can do that. But the moment you start to go above and beyond what you can afford to bumuna certain people, or to look a certain way, or to be accepted in society by certain individuals, then there you are problematic. There you are problematic, and you are setting yourself up for failure. Another issue is that young people are very lazy to think. I said it, yes, those are the views of Hileni Inanim. I am here at the studio. If you want to fight me, come find me. Just find a way to find me. But young people are very lazy to think. Young people don't think long term. Young people are so accustomed to thinking short term. Many believe they'll earn more later. You know, so you postpone, say, starting your savings plan. So you postpone everything because you feel like tomorrow is going to be better. But what if instead of better tomorrow you lose the whole job, and then what? What are you falling back on? Let's quickly pay our bills and we will be back to talk about your laziness.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
No way.
Are you looking for a place where the conversation never runs dry? From pop culture and trending news to everyday wins and real life struggles, Social Times is your escape into meaningful conversations, from heartfelt stories to the headlines shaping our communities. On Social Times, we laugh, we learn, we share, and sometimes we even challenge the way you think. We talk culture, relationships, personal growth, and all the things that make life beautifully unpredictable.
Beautifully unpredictable. And like I said before, a lot of young people don't want to think long term. A lot of young people are under the impression that there is a lot of time ahead of them and they don't have to do anything right now because they will start when they are 30. They will start when they are 35. They will start when they are 40. So they don't want to think beyond today. They don't want to think beyond tomorrow. They want to just live, believe you'll end better, you'll start saving soon, and then soon never comes. And that is the problem, soon never comes. Sometimes, for some people, soon comes, yes. For some people, it doesn't get better. You are in that position for 10, 20 years. It does not get better. And I'm not jinxing it for you, but it just does not get better. Sometimes that is all there is for you. It does not get better. You will not earn more soon. You will not hit the jackpot. It will not happen. And the sooner you come to terms with the possibility of some of those things not happening, and at least giving things a 50-50 chance, 50-50 probability of it happening, then things will start to look better for you. But you just think of it will get better. You need to give it realistic probabilities to say maybe it will, maybe it will not. But in the essence that it does not, what is your backup plan? What do you plan on doing in the essence that tomorrow you are not earning better, in the essence that tomorrow you do not hit the jackpot? What is your plan? What do you plan on doing? You know, you have to ask yourself such questions. So, thereby thinking, and young people, by a lay, very, very lazy. And another thing is, especially when it comes to the financial aspect of planning, it's the lack of guidance. And I always stress about this one. Financial literacy isn't something that, that was instilled in Namibians growing up. You didn't know money. Everything was done for you. Back to school, the parents buy everything for you. Your auntie gives you a $50, your mommy takes it. Forex trader number one, she takes it. Tomorrow you want your $10, she asks you, so that bread that you are eating is from where? So financial literacy is also just one of those particular things that are required in society. Maybe, just maybe, the education minister, maybe she's listening, maybe not, but maybe you people that talk to her, that go report us, maybe you are listening. So go tell her. Introduction of financial literacy, courses or modules or lesson plans to be added to the curriculum, because we sit with a society that is not financially literate. You know that this is $100, and out of this $100, a kanso fir black is tafa lagas kray, but that's the end of it. That's the end of it. People are not financially literate. People, don't have things to learn from. And it's sad because, in households where you and I grew up, people did not have honest financial conversations. You did not see when there was financial struggles at home. You were not taught to say, you know, how you can get certain things a certain way. You don't know that. Except for the one famous statement of there is no money. That is all we know. There is no money. But when there is money, how do you handle the money? How do you make sure that all our school is paid, your bills are catered for, you have paid your mortgage, you have done everything, you have paid your housing subsidy, you have paid the money you owe the bank for the car you're driving, all your kids, private schools, how did they make sure of that? How did our parents, you know, just get that? That education was not passed on to young people. It was not, it's like money is a taboo. Money conversations are like a taboo in Namibian households. People did not have conversations that educate you, that teaches you how to budget, that teaches you, kucha, when the money comes in, let it simmer for 2 days while you plan, and then you execute according to the plan. Or before the salary comes in, write down a note, a list of what it is that you need to utilize the money for. Make a budget. See the budget through. And once you see the budget through, how you can now see, which are, if you now budgeted $500 for cosmetics and you save $50 from the cosmetics, then you can must now use that $50 to go do your other things, because technically it was already budgeted for, but now it's leftover money, so you can go somewhere, squeeze it into something else. So those are just some of the things that were not taught to people. Conversations about this particular things, just to make people aware that in life, There'll be a day when you'll earn a lot of money and you'll not know how to, what to do with the money. Now you are calling all your friends. Now you and all your friends, we are suckering on, tabletop smoklaba. And you are just stuttering because you did not have a plan to say, if I get this inheritance money today of 1.5 million, what can I do to make sure this money sustains me for the next 10 years? What can be done? Jiggy jiggy, you are buying a very expensive car. You put petrol for the whole squad. You are speeding on my highway, on my foot. Jiggy jiggy, before the roadblock, the brand new car is written off because you are so happy and so excited and so under the influence of alcohol that you are just driving very fast, recklessly. And because oh no, 200 or deji to give okul drangamos. You have so much to give cool drinks because cool drink on roads cost $200. So because you have so much cool drink money, you are just doing what you want. Jiki jiki, the car is written off. It's written off. Or you are overturning. You did not even have insurance yet because at the back of your mind, you were like, no, I will come get it insured when I come back from Mafutas. And that's why I say it's a lazy thinkers. People that think lazily, people that think just for now, but not, what about tomorrow? What if A, B, C, and D happens? You know, you don't put the plan out there on the table, lay it out and look at it from all angles and see that it's bulletproof, that this plan can carry me for the next 5 years. As young people, you don't do that. And that is why young people find themselves in the predicaments that they find themselves. It's because some of those things are not taken care of. And lastly, when it comes to financial how young people financially jeopardizes their lives is the debt traps, whereby it's very easy to access debt. It's very easy to access orange. It's very easy to get money that you have to pay back at interested rates. And when this becomes this easy, you go into a debt spiral. And I spoke about that spiral at the beginning whereby it keeps accumulating. It keeps accumulating so much so that at the end of the day, it's a cycle of take mouth, take mouth, take mouth. You don't have savings. You don't have a backup. And the irony of it all is, these are people who get bonuses. These are people who get performance bonuses. These are people who get whatever the bonus in government or called for your birthday month, you get that extra bonus month. You know, like this is money you could actually utilize to reset your financial cycle and say, I have this extra money. What can I do better? What can I do to get myself out of this debt cycle? What can I do to make sure that I'm not spiraling out of debt, that I can actually afford certain things? Those are conversations that people are not having because obviously the ones that are giving this money, they are in business, so they will not advise their clients, kucha es noha noh. They'll just keep giving you, keep giving you, keep giving you, and then later you owe them everything that you are. But, what are you as a young person doing? We come here and we give out so much information. Do you take it? Do you listen? Do you go do your own research after this? Do you take time to just process the things we say? Or do you just say, ah, she just does not want us to spend our money. How can I not want you to spend the money if sometimes the money is even spent on me? Hey? Let's be serious, please. But also, I just want you to spend it responsibly. I just want you to spend it in a way that it does not spiral into debt. I just want you to spend it in a way that it does not cost you your mental well-being. I just want you to spend it in a way that it's not costing you your emotional well-being. I just want you to spend it in a way that it's not, you know, putting you between a rock and a hard place where you cannot get yourself out of, where everything just becomes unbearable because you found yourself in that particular cell, in that particular thing. So a lot of people ignore seeking for help, and people just struggle silently or in isolation, especially men. And this is how young people are actually jeopardizing their health. You know, you don't seek for help. And we live in a world where mental health is stigmatized. So people just decide to keep those things private, because if I say today I'm going to see a shrink, the next jokes at every other gathering that I will find myself in is crazy one. You think you have problems. You think you are what? You think you are what? And that is why people, young people, are not seeking for help. That is why people are suffering in isolation. Because of the statements you have to make. Because of the statements you just come up with. Because someone comes to you with an actual serious problem. Someone comes to you and tell you, I have a serious gambling problem. But instead of just taking it seriously, instead of getting them the assistance they need, tomorrow or shotopoti, where when you are at your family gathering and that cousin that gambles is not there, you are like, yeah, how can she come to the gathering if she's just gambling? But there is something said to you in confidence. There is someone that was trusting you with something they're struggling with. But instead of you going out there and finding out, what can I do to make sure that this person does not become excessive at gambling? What do I do to make sure that this person does not become a gambling addict? What do I do to make sure that this person does not sell everything that they have so that they can continue to gamble? So that they can continue to fund their gambling? And you see these things happen. There's this thing guys do. I see it happening in communities. Udaisa. People have an udaisa. And I don't know what it's called in English. So unfortunately, the rest of you guys will just have to forgive me. People play this rolling dice, the betting thing, something, something, man. And it gets so bad that sometimes they even take each other's properties. You are taking someone's phone, you are taking their laptop for work, you are taking their car, because they gambled so much pudaisampono that now they need to pay you back, but they don't have the financial means to. Igala from your live. Yes.
Oh my God. Thank you very much. You know, sorry for that, because the I had to get into a serious meeting.
Oh, okay.
So now, I hope I'm not mixing my notes now with the one that Eleni was talking about.
I hope so too.
So now you were talking about the young one.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the thing again?
And how they jeopardize their lives with the decisions they make.
Yes. That's what I got. So it's true, there are a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we move away from the norms and values, especially those issues that you don't. I was listening to Tate France today, talking about the cultures, the religions, and all these things, how we are socialized by our institution and things like that, and our parents.
Yes.
So now we engage also into some activities that are not so meaningful, destructive to our life. And maybe pressures. You know, sometimes people say peer pressure, some people say all those kind of influences.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that are really distracting us, even adults, but more the youth.
Yes.
So this morning, I woke up around 5. I can tell you, and then you will pass at 24 hours. What is it? They sell chips there. I said, let me buy chips here. My sister, my daughter, the young ones whom I found there, so many, and many of them are drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk with beers. Of course, women are not there. Like in one group, I saw about 7 young men, but it's only one girl.
Yeah.
And they are drunk. So now I'm saying, so it was just fight, and that's the time now they are going to sleep. And this is the time that people need to be active, productive.
Mm.
So I don't know what type of destructive behaviors that maybe you would be saying, but when I listened to that presentation, somebody was really saying, talking about, you know, it was also talking about God, how they could depend. So God, Jesus, I heard he was mentioned there. Maybe how he was teaching his disciples. So to behave, to not to engage in those things that the Francis was saying, don't kill, don't do what, don't steal, and all those don'ts. Are those not commandments?
Mm.
And they are natural. So I think, let me not just, but all I'm saying is that we really engage in some of destructive behaviors, and we do not focus on things that are more meaningful and relevant to our life.
Yes.
So thank you very much. Next time I will listen properly and contribute better.
Okay, thank you so much, Daddy.
Good.
Okay. You see, young people. Now you are even giving people proof that at 5 a.m. you are just leaving the club. And the proof is there and people can see what you're doing. And we're not judging. We listen, we don't judge. Hey, no shame. I don't think I meant that. So since I was speaking about how you as a young person can jeopardize your mental well-being, another factor would be over-reliance on coping shortcuts. And over-reliance on coping shortcuts are now things like what Uncle Ghana referred to there. It's over-reliance on things such as alcohol and substance abuse or social media instead of addressing root issues. So you spend so much time relying on certain things to make you feel a certain way. And this happens with some people. Some people would be facing a difficult situation at work, and instead of getting to the root cause of the situation at work, instead you go and you get yourself drinks. Instead you go and you buy yourself a Zol, because once you feel high and you're in that vibe, then everything else does not matter. So you rely so much on things that you are not supposed to be relying on, and you are also spending a lot on these particular things. Let's say now, for example, if you drink alcohol, and you don't drink cheap alcohol, right? And you have an over-reliant situation on alcohol whereby you need to drink alcohol to kickstart your day. It means you are going to buy, almost every week, you're buying a whiskey bottle so that you can give yourself a fix. So that you are able to make it through the day, so that you are able to make it through the week. Because you don't function without alcohol, most. You don't function without cigarettes. You don't function without drugs. Excuse me. You don't function without certain things. And therefore, you grow this over-reliance on those particular things and those particular shortcuts, and you always want to do it the easy way, the shortest way. And you sometimes find yourself in problems because of that. Because the shortcut, now, here you don't to do your own work at work. You get a shortcut. You bring in a certain someone to do your show. And then that certain someone does not do a good job on air. That certain someone says thing that Kren has forbidden people to say on air. Because this person is not aware or is not informed about Kren regulations or media ethics or whatever the case may be. Because they are not aware of that. They just come here and they do their own thing. Because I recently came across the fact that people think we just come here and we say anything we want. No, this is not social media, guys. We don't just say anything we want. There are certain words we need to use in a certain way. There are certain things we need to say with grace. There are certain conversations we need to have, but we cannot be too brutal because you are listening and people are not programmed the same. Some people are softer than others. Others function well with brutality. Others don't. Others misinterpret the messages. So there are just certain things we need to do a certain way so that we can make sure that the message is carried across properly and that the message is comprehended. And I always say comprehension is so, so much important. Like, I can have so many things to say, but what I want to know at the end of the day is, did you comprehend what I said? Did you understand it? There's a difference between hearing and understand it. Did you understand it? Or did you hear it? There's a difference between the two. So I was very surprised to know that you guys think we just come here and we say absolutely everything and anything and use any type of word at all. Unfortunately, guys, we don't do that. There are guidelines to go by. There are guidelines to go by. For other conversations, maybe we will meet each other on WhatsApp statuses and YouTube videos and TikTok videos and other things. But here, certain things need to be filtered because we are catering to different people at different levels of, with different emotional capacities, with different intellectual capacities. So certain things have to be done a certain way. My throat is itching nicely. Okay, lastly, young people need to be very aware of their surroundings. Young people need to be very much aware of who they are. You need to be self-aware as a person. What are your capabilities? What are the things you are capable of doing? What are the things you know you cannot do? What are the things you know you cannot afford? You know, once you are aware of yourself, a lot of things become so easier. It becomes very easy to make certain decisions. And it becomes very easy to just set your life into a certain trail. You know, you want to position yourself where you know your strengths are. You want to position yourself where you know you can thrive. You want to position yourself where you know your strong points lie. If you know you have a financial problem, then get help. You need to be self-aware. You can only win the world if you are self-aware. You can only win so many battles when you are self-aware. When you acknowledge that the friends I'm hanging with right now, they are pulling me back. Every weekend we are just drinking. Every weekend we are just drunk. You don't do anything productive. You need to be so self-aware and so honest with yourself and so brutal with yourself that you are not afraid to say, I'm messing up here. But what can I do to fix this? You need to be able to say, this one does not work for me. I need to walk away. I need to walk away from. You need to walk away from certain friendships. You need to walk away from certain relationships. Maybe you need to walk away from your employment because it's taking more from you than it's giving to you. Maybe you are constantly stressed. You are constantly edgy. You are constantly not underperforming because you are not in a space where you are thriving properly. So what can you do? Are you going to look for different job opportunity? Are you going to change your mindset? Are you going to address it? Just to be self-aware and to address things as they are. And to not allow yourself to get drained by these things. So this is one thing I would like to leave you with today. Self-awareness. Instead of learning about what other people like and learning about gossip, you are just following along other people's lives. take a step back and just take your own life. Look at it. Make yourself aware about what is happening in your life, how you want certain things to continue happening in your life going forth, how you want certain things to be done in your life, how you want your life to unfold, how you can make that happen for yourself. And then you can now start to see a difference, because when you are self-aware, you are able to make better decisions. You are able to get the help that you require. But if you do not acknowledge that you are a drunkard and you need rehabilitation from alcohol, then there is no way you are ever going to stop drinking, because it's not a problem to you. But if you do not acknowledge that certain things does certain things to you, you can never fix it. You cannot fix that, the fact that you take $100 every day from your teller because you need to go do what, and you are doing this illegally. Your boss does not know about it. If you do not acknowledge that it's wrong, you are gonna keep doing it because your mindset has been set to say it's right, and you just convince yourself it's right, so you are going to continue doing it. So these are just some of the things that you need to do today or from today onwards, as a young person, as an old person. I want you to understand self-awareness. Go out there, read up on it, be self-aware, and reclaim your power. So some of the remedies for financial well-being would be living within your means. Create simple rules such as, if I can't buy it twice, I can afford it now. Focus on your actual needs before you can start squandering money on other things. And your actual needs would be things such as your rent, your transport, your savings. And then you can buy things you want as luxuries at a later stage. You know, always budget wisely. Budget wisely so that when the money comes in, you just start buying. And I get frustrated sometimes, because sometimes, when I get money, I just go in a shop and I start buying. And I know there's that one important thing that I did not take care of. But I'm just buying. And later the money is finished, the problem is still there. And you get so angry at yourself, and you are so frustrated, because now you have to find ways on how to get money again to solve that particular problem. Another thing is build emergency funds. Always have money lying down somewhere, you know, that you can just utilize in a case of an emergency. Just have money somewhere that you can use, so that when something urgent happens, you are not looking at other people with eyes that, I need what, but I cannot afford it. Always just try to have savings, especially if you have kids, guys. If you have kids, it's even worse. Have savings. Because your child can get sick any time of the day. If you have bigger responsibilities, have savings. Learn financial literacy. Avoid bad debt. Avoid taking out money for things, for luxuries. Avoid taking out money for things that don't help you in any way. And set boundaries with how you spend your money. If you cannot afford it, do not do it. If someone, you know, if someone says, please give me $500 and you can't afford it, there's absolutely no reason for you to go take out credit so that you can give that person. Someone else will take care of them. And that is the one thing that I have learned in life, that if I don't help someone somewhere, somehow, they will get that help. They always do. So train yourself in a way that you do things that are beneficial to you, and you take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, and financially before anything else. So that has been the conversation here on Social Time with me, Hileni. And we are at the very end of our programming. And like I said, the one thing I want you to take away from this conversation, so that you can save your life, so that you can save other people's lives, so that you can be in a good space, so that you are not frustrated because it's almost holiday time and you have nothing to take with home. So now instead of you going home for the holiday, you are going to be locked up in your room because you are so ashamed of going home because you don't want to go back empty handed. When the neighbor is coming with two buckets, eteranto in my Christmas and New Year. So always plan ahead and know what you're capable of. If you know your salary cannot do it in one go, plan ahead. It's such a critical time of the year. You are tired mentally, emotionally, financially. It's starting to drain because now you are making all those plans for the festive season, like I said. And your head is all over the place. You are thinking about how can you get over all these things at once? How can you fix all these things? So self-awareness, financial literacy, plan better. Don't go borrow money from people if it's not important. Just don't do it. It just brings you unnecessary problems. So that has been the conversation with me here on Social Times today. I will catch you next week, Saturday, same time, same place, same radio frequencies. Do have yourselves a lovely Saturday and continue listening to the rest of our programming here on Eagle FM. Goodbye.